Kunda Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Gopi Ganabalava Giribar Dari. Gopi Ganabalava Giribar Dari. Nandana, Brajana Rangana Yatur Nandana, Brajana Rangana Yatur Nandana, Brajana Rangana Yatur Nandana, Brajana Rangana Jamuna Kira Balachari Jamuna Kira Balachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paramajakacharya Sarasata Sri Shimaresi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Virastakur Ki Jai Prems of the whole Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vastigo Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gogopinatha Shaima Kundu Radha Kundu Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai Gokapuri Dhamma Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Nuraman Reiti Ki Jai Samvade Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Go Premananda Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Navishesha Shunyavadi Pastadishtarane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are continuing our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 6th chapter, The Killing of the Demon Putana. And we will be reading text 15 through 17 without responding because there's no purport, and then we'll chant text 18.
Ishamat droga damstrayayam giri kandara nasikam gandashaila stam rodram prakrina runa murdajam andakupa gabi raksham pulano roha bishanam bada setu bajor hungry shunya toya rida daram Santastu sma tadvikshya gopa gopya kalevaram purvam tu tam nishavanita bina ritkana mastakaha.
The Rakshashi's mouth was full of teeth, each resembling the front of a plow. Her nostrils were deep, like mountain caves,
and her breasts resembled big slabs of stone fallen from a hill. Her scattered hair was the color of copper. The sockets of her eyes appeared like deep, blind wells. Her fearful thighs resembled the banks of a river. Her arms, legs, and feet seemed like big bridges, and her abdomen appeared like a dried-up lake. The hearts, ears, and heads of the coward men and women were already shocked by the Rakshasi's screaming, and when they saw the fierce wonder of her body, they were even more frightened. Text 18. Balam cha tasya urasi. Balam cha tasya urasi. Kridantam akutobayam. Kridantam akutobayam. Gopyas turnam samabhyetya. Gopyas turnam samabhyetya. Jagrahur jata sambramaha. Jagrahur jata sambramaha. Balam cha tasya urasi. Kridantam okutobayam. Gopyas turnam samabhyetya. Jagrahur jata sambramaha. Balam cha tasya urasi. Kridantam mukutobhayam. Gopyasturnam samabhyetya. Jagrahur jata sambramaha. Balam cha tasya urasi. Kridantam mukutobhayam. Gopyasturnam samabhyetya. Jagrahur jata sambramaha. Ladies. Balam cha tasya urasi. Kridantam mukutobhayam. Gopyasturnam samabhyetya. Jagrahur jata sambramaha. Gurukula. Balam cha. The child also. Tasya. Of that Rakshasi Putana. Urasi. On the upper portion of the breast. Kridantam. Engaged in playing. Akutobayam. Without fear. Gopyaha. All the cowherd women. Turnam. Immediately. Samabhyetya. Coming near. Jagrahu. Picked up. Jata sambramaha. With the same affection and respect they always maintained. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. Without fear, the child Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked him up. Without fear, the child Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked him up. Prabhupada's purport. Here is the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. Although Rakshasi Putana could increase or decrease her bodily size by her mystic abilities and thus gain proportionate power, the supreme personality of Godhead is equally powerful in any transcendental form. Krishna is the real personality of Godhead because, whether as a child or as a grown-up or as a young man, he is the same person. He does not need to become powerful by meditation or any other external endeavor. Therefore, when the greatly powerful Putana expanded her body, Krishna remained the same small child and fearlessly played on the upper portion of her breast. Sad Aishvarya Purna, he is the possessor of all six opulences. Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, is always full in all potencies, regardless of whether he is present in this form or that. His potencies are always full. Parasya Shakti Vidaiva Shriyate. He can display all potencies under any circumstances. This last verse that Prabhupada is quoting in the purport, Parasya Shakti Vidaiva Shriyate, I think it's one of Prabhupada's favorite verses. Comes from the Upanishads, and if you look throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Bhagavatam verse, different cantos, you'll find this verse practically in everyone and mentioned several times. So actually, before beginning speaking on this verse in purport, I would like to read from the purport of the third chapter, 22nd verse of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Prabhupada quotes the entire Sanskrit and the translation of this verse, Shrestha Sutara Upanishad 6, 7, and 8. Tadishvaranam paramam maheshvaram tam devatanam paramam chadaivatam patipatinam paramam parastad vidam devam bhuvanesham idyam natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natachamaschad diyakascha dishyate parasya shakti vividaya shruyate svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. And I know some of you know this verse. This is an important one. The Supreme Lord is the controller of all other controllers, and he is the greatest of all the diverse planetary leaders. Everyone is under his control. All entities are delegated with particular power only by the Supreme Lord. They are not supreme in themselves. He is also worshipable by all demigods and is the supreme director of all directors. Therefore, he is transcendental to all kinds of material leaders and controllers and is worshipable by all. There is no one greater than him, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. He does not possess bodily form like that of an ordinary living entity. There is no difference between his body and his soul. He is absolute. All his senses are transcendental. Any one of his senses can perform the action of any other sense. Therefore, no one is greater than him or equal to him. His potencies are multifarious, and thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence. So this is Krishna. As Prabhupada says here, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, right in the preface, Prabhupada says, everyone must know how Krishna is great. How great is Krishna? Therefore, we gather at this time every morning to hear more and more about Krishna's greatness, and about Krishna's pastimes, and about Krishna's wonderful transcendental qualities, his opulences, as is mentioned here, the six opulences, his beauty, his fame, his knowledge, his power, his strength, wealth, his wealth, and his renunciation. Now, in the material world, when we have any one of these things, we're fearful of losing it. When we're young, handsome, beautiful, we feel great in our material bodies, but all of a sudden, as the Waves of time start washing us toward that great Agasura-like mouth of the Virata Rupa, the form of the form of time that's gobbling up all the living entities, as mentioned in the 11th canto of the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's very fearful. We're losing our beauty. And those of you who have a little wealth, there's always a fear of what's happening with the stock market and what's happening with the economy, and I'm going to lose my wealth. And so fearfulness. And our strength too. Oh, we want to be very strong to protect ourselves, huh? Therefore, our government, you know, we have trillions of dollars spent on defense. Now, it's very natural to be fearful, and defending is one of the four principles built in to having a material body. We want to eat, sleep, mate, and because of fearfulness, we need to defend ourselves. So I would like to speak a little bit about fearfulness this morning, because it's mentioned several times in this verse. In the previous verse, how they were even more frightened when they saw Putin's form. This is a very scary form. Teeth like the front of a plow. Some of you done engaged in agriculture won't know what the front of a plow looks like. Very scary. I know in this part of the country, this part of Florida, the kind of mascot for the university over there is some big alligator with big fearful teeth. Actually, though, these fearful teeth were not so appreciated by Gajendra, the celestial elephant, who was sporting around with his she-elephant, so all of a sudden, some big crocodile comes and latches onto his leg. Big teeth, very fearful. I don't know if any of you in your early days saw the movie Jaws. Big, fearful teeth of that makara, that shark, that is very, very scary. So much so that after that movie, many of us were kind of scared to go in the water. I mean, you all of a sudden you put your feet in the water and it's a boom, 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 boom. Some big thing's going to come and just devour you. So these scary teeth, the scary teeth I mentioned, as I said, in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that form of time devouring everybody, and the warriors are getting stuck between the teeth as well. Very frightening, scary. So what is the antidote to fear? Is it more and more military forces? Will that give us fear, make us brave and free of fear? I don't think so. Of course, the Bhagavad Gita is the story of Arjuna being fearful. Even though he's a great warrior, at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, we see he's trembling, his bow is slipping from his hand, his skin is burning. He's experiencing these intense symptoms of fear. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge, one bit of knowledge after another, Krishna is giving him to help him become fearless. Of course, the beginning fear for all of us in the material conception is this fear of death. Therefore, the first instruction that Krishna gives is, Na jayate mete vakadachin, nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha, ajonicham yashvatam yam purano, na hanyate hanyamane sharire. For the soul there is never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. The soul is eternal, ever existing, non-dying. The soul is not slain when the body is slain. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, more and more information is given, so that as we, the readers, are gaining knowledge, we are also becoming more and more courageous and less fearful. I mean, as a little child, don't you remember being, all of a sudden mom switches off the light and it's dark? Well, very scary. Fear of the unknown. What's hiding under the bed? Hey, is that closet door moving? Oh, gosh, kind of scary. So, meanwhile, we are understanding that ignorance is kind of darkness. The motto of our Bhakti Godhead magazine, Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience, there's no darkness. That is the torchlight, that torchlight of knowledge that illumines that darkness, so we become free of fear. So, the more that we understand Krishna's greatness, and how Krishna is indeed behind everything, as it's mentioned here, behind all the various energies,
And that same Krishna is indeed a person, and he is our dearmost friend. He is our well-wisher. Then we become free of fear also.
Oh, I've got my big brother. He's looking after me. I've got my supreme friend here. He's going to, you know, take care of me.
Hmm? Yeah. So, Supreme Personality of Godhead is the absolute truth. Ignorance, untruth, illusion is partly what causes all the fear.
The very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, very first verse, Janamadi Syarito Nvayana Vitara Sastra Tes Vigilas Vara Tele Brahma Hridaya Arikaviye Muyanti Yatsuraya Tejo Vara Mridam Mithavini Mayo Yatrasri Sarumisha Dhamma Sena Nirastakurkam Satyam Param Dimahi. Krishna says that he existed before all the creation. And he alone and is upholding and sustaining everything. And when everything else is gone, he continues to exist. Actually, the same message he gives to Brahma in the so-called Chatur Sloka in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ahamevasameva nanyad yadasakpa.
I existed before you, Brahma. I was there. Krishna is indeed the reality behind everything. But unfortunately, as is mentioned also, even Brahma, all the great demigods, including all the living entities, are under illusion. But Krishna is never under illusion, is he? He is the source of the illusion. Therefore, he is not afraid. Here, Putana, this scary form that we've been reading about in the previous verses, very fearful, but Krishna is simply playing on her breast like, you know, like it's a playground. Very nice. Similarly, we'll read on a few chapters later when Agasura comes and Krishna, after killing him, the cowherd boys use the body of Agasura as a big playground. Ah, no more fear, because Krishna's there. So, Krishna is indeed the antidote to our fear. Therefore, we get more and more knowledge about Krishna and we feel more and more confident. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita gives so many of his opulences and shows us how we are dependent on him. Actually, when we understand the very end of the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, surrender unto me, sarvadharmam parityajam, mamekam saranam vacha, aham tam sarva pape bimokshishyami masuchaha. You surrender to me, Arjuna. I'll take care of everything. I'll take care of all sinful reactions. Don't worry. Don't fear. Have no fear. So that is also like the essence of Bhagavad Gita, is to become fearless by knowing Krishna, by surrendering to Krishna. So one of the symptoms of that surrender to Krishna is feeling ourselves completely dependent on Krishna. And actually it's so. Even in this material world, even in this material body, how are we able to see? Krishna says, I'm the light in all luminous objects. I'm the light of the sun. If all of a sudden we can't breathe, it's scary, but Krishna says, I am the breath of life. So many things Krishna reveals to us in a way to make us understand that we are dependent on him, and as if we do depend on him, we feel confident and fearless also. So, I wanted to mention a couple other verses that are particularly apropos in this connection. Here, in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Gatir Bharata Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralayastanam Nidanam Bijam Avyayam. Krishna says, I am the goal. Without knowing that, what is our goal? I mean, everybody that we meet out in the material world has some goal, but if the goal is not Krishna, it's a goal that will eventually be... but let us down in the end. No matter what endeavor we take up, if we need to make our goal Krishna. Even if we have some other activities, ultimately we offer the results of that activity to Krishna. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, do as an offering unto me. So understanding Krishna is the goal, we do everything for him. And then he says, I am the sustainer. How is our body being sustained? How is our, even the molecules and the atoms and the everything in this body, how is this held together? Krishna is sustaining it. If we need to maintain our body by eating, where is that food coming from? Is there some human being creating the food? No. All of that food is coming from Krishna. And even the ability to digest the food, he explains to us in Bhagavad Gita, that's also him. He says, I am the fire of our digestion. So both the food, the nourishment, and the ability to use that nourishment are coming from Krishna. He is the master. He is the master. He's the master of everyone. But not knowing that, what do we think? Oh, I'm the master. In our illusion, we want to lord it over other living entities. And therefore, there's a competition in the material world for those conditioned souls who don't know Krishna to try to be the Lord, the Master, the God of everything. Now, this is the demoniac mentality that we read about in the divine and demoniac qualities. The demons say, oh, so much wealth is mine today. I will gain more according to my schemes than my other enemies. My enemies I've killed. My other enemies will also be killed. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I may do some sacrifice, but, it's all for my benefit. Right? So this is the demoniac mentality thinking, I'm the Lord of all I survey. So therefore we must hear this knowledge again and again, reminding us that Krishna indeed is the master of all, the Ishvara, the Paramishvara, the supreme controller of everything. He is the witness. Sometimes we think we're all alone, but Krishna is the very soul of our soul, as the Paramatma. He is seeing out through our eyes as well as we are seeing out through our eyes. He is seeing out through every eye. Therefore, in our dealings with all living entities, we must deal with them with great respect, because Krishna is there as the witness, as the soul of each soul. He is the abode. What does abode mean? Prabhupada explains several places that where we stay, where we live, this is also Krishna. I mean, if you take the material explanation of this earth as a little ball of rock and fire and water flinging through space at the speed of light, that's kind of scary too. But if we understand Krishna is the abode, and Krishna's supreme abode is our real home, the idea of going back to Godhead means this is where we can feel safe and secure. In fact, therefore, one way of describing the difference between this material world and the spiritual world, in the spiritual world is Vaikuntha, no anxiety, no fearfulness. Whereas here, danger at every step. Danger at every step here. So he is the abode. And the refuge. Refuge means shelter. Means where we can go when we are afraid, where we can go when we are disturbed, where we can go when we are having difficulties with our husband and wife or children or parents or bosses or anybody else in the material world. We go to the Ashraya, to Krishna, who is the supreme shelter of everyone. And the dearest friend. Oh, again and again, Prabhupada explains to us, there can be no friend more dear than Krishna. The dearest friend. Actually, if we want peace, there's that peace formula at the end of the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhuktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suradam sarvabhutanam gyatramam shantam richati. That we can have peace if we understand three things. That the giver of all benedictions, the goal of all sacrifices and everything is Krishna. That he's the Lord of all the worlds. And he is our dearmost friend. This is Krishna. Then Krishna says, I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal seed. In that purport, Prabhupada writes, everything is resting on Krishna's energy. Therefore, without Krishna's shelter, nothing can exist. Krishna is the supreme ruler because everything belongs to him, and everything exists on his energy. Krishna, being situated in everyone's heart, is the supreme witness. The residences, countries or planets on which we live are also Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate shelter, and therefore one should take shelter of Krishna, either for protection or for the annihilation of his distress. And wherever and whenever we have to take protection, we should know that our protection must be a living force. Krishna is the supreme living entity. And since Krishna is the source of our generation, or the supreme father,
No one can be a better friend than Krishna. Nor can anyone be a better well-wisher. Krishna is the original source of creation and the ultimate rest after annihilation. Krishna is therefore the eternal cause of all causes. And we have the one of my favorite verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text 28 and 29. Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Makka, Vasudeva Para Yoga, Vasudeva Para Kriya, Vasudeva Para Gyanam, Vasudeva Para Tapaha, Vasudeva Para Dhamma, Vasudeva Para Gati. And this is similar to the verse we just read in the Bhagavad Gita. Here Krishna says that the Vedas are meant for knowing him. This is also confirmed in the 15th chapter, 15th verse of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the Makaha. He is the one by whom or for whom we make all sacrifices. Krishna is the goal of yoga. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Krishna rewards all the food of workers, Kriyaha. All the things that we work for are ultimately given to us by Krishna, even in the material world. Gyanam. Krishna is knowledge. Krishna is that knowledge that by which he is to be known. And therefore, we must take more and more of this knowledge. Of course, at a certain level, our level of understanding, we understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that helps purify us and helps put us on the right platform of understanding we are Krishna's internal servant. Now, although at the beginning, there may be some awe and reverence knowing Krishna's greatness. Oh, Krishna, you are so great, I am so little. But then Prabhupada explains, as we advance in our Krishna consciousness, hey, Krishna's so great, let me do something for him. Let me serve him. So then we move to the next level. Not only Krishna is great, but Krishna is worth serving. No one else is worth serving except Krishna, Krishna's representative. And then after we serve him, oh, we want to get a little more intimate with Krishna. Oh, Krishna can become our friend. We can become the parent of Krishna. And if we want, Krishna can be our lover. Because these are the things that we seek in the material world, but they are actually there eternally in our eternal relationship with Krishna. Krishna is tapaha, the goal of austerities. Lord Brahma was able to perform his service of creating this material world by performing that tapa. Remember, we read in the third canto how Brahma was born in the lotus flower. He didn't know what the heck to do. He climbed off the thing, wading around in the gob of the ocean, wondering what the heck to do, and then he heard two syllables. You all remember those two syllables? Tapa. Yeah, austerity. Perform some austerity. So Brahma then performed that austerity to reach Krishna, and then tene Brahma Hridaya. Krishna revealed within his heart the knowledge and how to then create the rest of the universe. Krishna is Dharma. There are all kinds of different dharmas in the in Bhagavad Gita. We understand one's individual dharma, svadharma, one's dharma in the social spheres, and varnashram dharma. But ultimately, Krishna says, give up all dharmas and surrender to me. That's called Sanatana Dharma. That's who we are eternally. So this is Krishna in the form of our essence. Dharma, Prabhupada sometimes explains, it means the essence of something. So like the essence of fire is what? Yeah, or the essence of water. Yeah. So the essence, so the dharma of the living entity is servant. But not knowing to serve Krishna or to serve Srila Prabhupada, we serve so many things. We serve our senses, we serve our boss, we serve our family, we serve this, we serve that. But all those kinds of service do not ultimately bring us the satisfaction we're looking for. And then finally, Vasudeva Paragati, Krishna is the goal. The goal of life. This is what we're out after. And so, as we read these pastimes, one of the functions of these pastimes is to help fix Krishna in our mind. Well, if we just think of Krishna, standing playing his flute, that's beautiful, but it's hard to remember. But when Krishna starts doing things, engaging in these eternal pastimes, then our minds can find something to grasp onto and to remember.
So as we're remembering these pastimes of early pastimes of Krishna as a baby, defeating Putana, oh, then we can remember, yes, Krishna, he is the source of all fearfulness, fearlessness. We can be fearless by remembering how Krishna engages in killing these demons. Of course, we're going to read in the next few verses here how the residents of Vrindavan, not knowing Krishna is the Supreme Lord, are fearful on Krishna's behalf. Therefore, they want to protect Krishna, which Krishna likes also. In fact, he even likes that better, that his devotees want to take care of him. I see I'm running out of time. I will stop here and open the floor for comments and questions. Yes, sir.
It wasn't just a class, it was an experience.
Hare Krishna.
You were talking about and reading about shelter, taking shelter. And I think you read from Prabhupada's Prabhupada, he said, know that that shelter has to be a living force. Okay. Yeah. Can you explain that a little bit more? Why does it have to be a living force?
Well, we are living. When we take shelter of something dead, that is not very good shelter for us. And people do take shelter of dead things, don't they? In the material world, that's what they take shelter of. Something dead, some outmoded doctrine or dogma or some historical character that is not spiritual. They look to that shelter as something kind of on the mental plane. Whereas Krishna is the life of everything. So that life, that supreme life, the supreme giver of life, is our real shelter. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Very nice, thank you. The way you express things. You are very aware of it. I just thought of adding a little bit that in Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada expressed many references of Putana, how the Brajabashis are relishing. Like you have mentioned in the class about Arjuna's feeling fearful. Now in 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says fear and fearlessness, both coming from me. So eternally exists fear also. But that fear today that we are understanding, it's a stimulation of ecstasy to the Brajavasis. That is, we are not aware of this world. Srila Prabhupada in Vaivichari Bhav, one section after 20 chapter, explains many pages that how when Putana came, it caused 8 ecstasy symptom called Shaktik Bhav. I give a little example, like for Arjuna's case, when universal form manifested. That time, Rupa Goswami Pada explaining this in Vaivichari Bhav or Sanchari Bhav, that Arjuna's eternal worshipable object is two-hand form Krishna. That is his eternal feeling for him, his existence of relationship, everything on that two-hand form. Universal form also has no separate existence from Krishna. There is a little difference because universal form is not Satchidananda. Krishna is Satchidananda. Universal form has to have existence not by its own right, by Krishna's right. So Krishna holds it. But that became a stimulation. So when he saw the universal form, his mental feeling, mental calculation, mental relationship is two-hand form. Now he's seeing unlimited form, unlimited hands, and it's very destructive. At that time, all these symptoms exhibited, like Brajavasi, they are feeling right now. So, for example, like one bhav is called Anubhav. Anubhav means whatever in his heart, it follows. So, Krishna, you can say, Mother Yashoda saw also universal form. But did she needed Dibya Chakshu? That in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told to Arjuna, I have to give you divine eyes. Are they less? No, they're not less. This divine eye to see the universal form, it's only for the demigod to relish, because in their heart, also universal form aspect of God. But Madhurya Mandita, or sweetness form of Krishna, in a baby form right now on Putana's breast, this is so sweet. This is object of every soul, that form of Krishna in Vrindavan. That that form, Mother Yashoda or Arjuna, difference is that Arjuna's mental correspondence and his perception of his Ishtadev are not same, what caused him fearful. If his heart also had the universal form of God as his lover, then he would not be afraid. Because his feeling for the Lord is a two-hand form, and his feeling as a friendship is disturbed because of the universal form. And Prabhupada very nicely explains how these Brajavasis are actually enjoying, but it appears frightening. Because that's frightening actually tighten, intensify their love for him,
yes,
to protect,
yes,
immediately. And then they become stunned like a pillar. And that is one type of ecstasy. They want it. They more. And the rest of their life, they enjoy. They remember this. Then they grab Krishna and hug Mother Yashoda. And Krishna enjoys it also. Krishna is enjoying how his potency is making him enjoy so much. Yes. God is happy. All the Brajavasis are happy. This
excellent point. Thank you so much for that. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.